not all traffic is bad, especially web traffic. To boost yours, Google Supple. That's SUPPLE. The country is back racing strong. Support local communities and visit country.racing.com.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
A Luke Beveridge type of music, I reckon he'd like this. It is Western Bulldogs membership day today. You can get a six-game bronze Western Bulldogs membership for the price of three here at SEN. It's westernbulldogs.com.au/SEN. We've got the president, Kylie Watson-Wheeler. She's going to be on with Jared. We've got Aaron Norton on with Duano. Josh Dunkley's going to be on drive. Ali Blackburn's on time on. And we've been lucky enough to land the coach, Luke Beveridge. He's been good enough to join us. Lukey, welcome.
Morning, Gaz. Morning, Tim.
Where do you sit in that hierarchy of president, star, player, captain? Where does a coach fit these days?
Oh, sometimes the real low, shallow end of the pool, I think, if you've had a loss. And if you're riding a winning streak, maybe somewhere a bit closer to the top.
How's it feel this year? On the back of what happened last year and the whole competition went through and the uncertainty and the changes that we all had to endure and clubs in, does this feel like it's gone back to some sort of normality for you as a coach?
Yeah, a little bit. I think we're dealing with dramatic change in the competition. The 75 interchange probably hasn't been emphasised as much as it probably should be. It's going to really change the game. It's a big reason why some of the coaches are declaring players unavailable for the start of the year, because ultimately, we're going to accentuates the challenge there is that the game's going out to, over 120 minutes again. So there's some change there in the new rules and the reduced list sizes, the reduced amount of staff. So there's quite dramatic change. I think the other day I said, it's putting pressure on people, more professionals who, have got other options like doctors and physios and sports scientists. They've got choices. So keeping them in our little niche industry is a challenge.
How do you reckon that's going to affect the game, Luke? Is it something we're going to see in the short term, or is it something that you feel if we don't get back to that sort of spending, we're going to see elements of our game deteriorate over a period of time?
Well, I think change management is a really important discipline from a leadership point of view, and there's just been significant change, quite dramatic change, and I think there's a tipping point there, and people flip the bales because they want some certainty and consistency. I don't know, but I know we've been able to remain reasonably static with our staff over a period of time. We had to make some incredibly hard choices with Joel Corey and Jordan Russell moving on last year, who just made an enormous contribution from a coaching point of view. And thankfully, they've got jobs at other clubs. So there's been a lot of heartache and heartbreak there. I think ultimately, hopefully the players, they're in a different sort of realm, and they'll always aspire for longevity, I think. And I think that's what the girls have done to our game too. They've breathed new life into the code. Let's be honest, in the regions, in the states, in the districts, and they've really helped the game get off the ground again. And it's brilliant seeing our girls, our Western Bulldogs girls play so well. And I've really enjoyed watching the girls footy to this point in time.
Hey, Luke, you recruited a young kid by the name of Jamara Hugel-Hagen, and you've already spoken about how the rigours of senior football at this stage have probably, or he's been affected by the fact that he didn't play a lot of footy last year as well. How far behind the ball do you think that has put some of those under-18 kids that are stepping into AFL footy this year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the unique athletes like the Bailey Smiths and some of the other boys who were drafted high, who are midfielders at other clubs, who might start their career, immediately. The lads who come in and, are coming off a junior programs where they haven't had proper pre-season, it's going to take them some time. And what exacerbates that, as I mentioned, is the reduction in interchange and the longer games. If, we're not in a position to develop and finish at the lower end of the ladder to to bring, you know, young players on just for the sake of it. We want to win games. And so Jamara will play when he's physically ready, and he's a fair way off at the moment.
So, Will, with this, you know, your comments on the interchange and the going back to, you know, the longer season, does that impact how you deal with Adam Treloar, given that he's had a, you know, a little bit of a history and his last couple of weeks have been interrupted?
Because he's seasoned and he's got a reasonable engine, Adam, he probably sets himself up as, you know, one of those case-by-case considerations. He'd had a really strong training patch, and then he got a cork in his calf and kept running on it, and then it turned into something a little bit worse. We'll give him a little bit of time. At the moment, he may play some minutes on Monday, but it won't be in the senior team that plays against Melbourne. That will be against Casey here at the Witten Oval in the early game, if he plays at all. We still need to clear that up. And then we've got, I think, about 12 days until round one, and we'll just see how that shapes up.
And with Luke Beveridge, the coach of the Dogs. So, Luke, for those that aren't involved intimately at AFL level and they're in their own workplaces, and the whole Josh Dunkley situation, we're not going to rehash it, but can you just talk to how he is reintegrated? Well, not that. Well, he did. He wanted out, but then it didn't occur, so he remains at the club. Now, there'd be people in other industries saying, how does that work? How can someone that is not fully in, who wanted out, you know, so demonstrably, how does he re-embrace into the group, and what's your role as a coach in establishing that?
Yeah, I've been on record to say that Dunks and I have been really close, you know, away from the club as much as that coach-player relationship. And we have moved on, and I have mentioned that whatever the reasons were and the weight of the influence doesn't really matter anymore. He has applied himself. He's trained, you know, extremely hard with the rest of the boys, and, you know, he's playing some... He's not at his best at the moment as far as his production on the ground. He didn't play his best game against Hawthorn, so you know, he's fully aware that there's pressure for game time in any role in our team, and that's what you do. I mean, every year you endeavour to bolster your list, ensure it's healthy, create new levels of competitiveness, and that's what we've been able to do, bringing Adam in and keeping Josh. And so, yeah, there's still pressure on for his spot and the role that he plays, and he understands that. And he'll be treated, you know, the same as every other player. But his teammates adore him. He's always had close connections, as much as it was a bit of a head-scratcher. We're in a good place with it.
Steph Martin, you've recruited him to the club, obviously a mature-age ruckman. Tim English, you've got there, a young, developing ruckman. Are you still sort of trying to work out exactly how you're going to use those two in terms of ruck play, forward type play? Is that still a work in progress?
Yeah, we've got a vision of it, Tim, and what we want to achieve there. But yeah, it'll be a work in progress. I'd say it'll last a full year, and hopefully we get some dividends from that combination. Steph's not a, you know, when we come up, we got Max Gawn. I'd imagine he'd play next week, and then we got Brady Grundy round one. And Max didn't play against us last year. Braden Pruce played against us. And that was... See, I think the thing that everyone needs to understand, it wasn't just Josh. It was Marcus Bonampelli and Jack McRae who were playing in the ruck as well. We had three inside midfielders sharing time with Tim, with Josh Bruce. So it wasn't just Josh. And it won us games. It really helped us because it was a position that we were compromised in. And there's no doubt that Max is going to get his hand on it next week. And but what Steph brings us is some real vigour around the footy. He's a big ruck rover type. We'll get him to play to his strengths, and it means that we'll be able to play Tim forward a little bit more, and hopefully he can add a little bit more chemistry to the Aaron Norton, Josh Bruce, and our small to mediums down there.
Are you saying there that you still will experiment, or you'll still place those mid-sized or those medium-sized midfielders in the ruck at different times, depending on what suits you as a setup and a lineup?
Possibly. I mean, it could be 5 minutes a quarter. it depends. I mean, it gets back to what I was saying about managing game time. And, you know, if Tim and Stefan and others are flagging, and you want your, you know, endurance and speed beasts out on the ground for a bit longer, then, you know, you might have to give up some hit outs and sort of risk manage that a little bit with a mode you may be in. So we'll do different things to try and get an edge. And but, you know, every coach would just love to, for every player, just to totally own their role, and you sit back and just let them play it. And that's the way it goes. But the competition's too fierce, and we're coming up against the best. And we know that at times we're going to have our challenges. So we'll bend and sway. And as you said, Tim, a bit earlier, we'll pivot, you know, at different times.
Luke, what did you think when the AFL said, listen, we're introducing a rule that says the bloke on the mark can't move? And now that you've got used to that idea, what do you think of it now?
Well, initially I said, well, let the umpires go out to all the other clubs so they can troubleshoot and answer all the questions and try and provide some answers, and then they can come to us, and hopefully they've learned how to umpire. I think essentially it's the umpires need to rub their tummy and pat their head at the same time with this rule. It's like a gunfight on the streets of Tombstone, where it's whoever flinches first, really.
In what way, though? From the outside, isn't it simple? There's the mark, stand there, don't move.
Yeah, but the thing is, the umpire has to keep his eye on the player with the ball and the guy on the mark, but it's too hard to do that. So whoever moves first, it's either play on if the guy with the ball moves first, or it's a 50-metre penalty if the guy on the mark moves first. So my feedback has been, well, it's not about the ones they've paid. It's the 15 to 20 in the game that they didn't pay when they were there, whether it's play on or whether it's a 50-metre. So you can't actually umpire the rule to the letter that they're trying to umpire it. So they'll have to bend and let the guy on the mark move a little bit. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So if they don't do that, the grandstands are going to fall down at the MCG when these 50-metre penalties are paid.
I listened to Damien Hardwick yesterday. He thinks there could be better utilisation in the game of the umpires, and he is an advocate for the 9 umpires on the ground at any one time to be able to make decisions. Would you support that?
No.
What do you think that would lead to?
I think one of the hardest things for the 3 field umpires is understanding who's making the decision. You know, and if you've got a boundary umpire, a goal umpire in the same vicinity and a field umpire, you could get 3 blokes making a decision and 3 different decisions at the same time. So I just can't see that working.
We had the great Doug Hawkins on the other day, and he will want us to ask this. He thinks Aaron Norton will be the best centre-half back in the competition if he played there. Where do you think he's best suited, and where will you play him?
He could be. Hawk is absolutely right. I think, you know, if we played Aaron Norton as a key defender, he'd be an All-Australian player. And this is the quality of the young man. He knows that he could also be the Coleman medalist. He could be the best key forward in the game. And he's willing to pick up that challenge. We've seen the signs. He's only, what is he now? I can't remember if he's 21 or 22 yet. But he's just done his first pre-season. So there's another thing. He hasn't been able to do a pre-season yet. And the signs have been very, very good. He got a little hip pointer the other week, so he couldn't play against Hawthorn. I'm thankful that he misses some of these games just so he gets through another week to start the season. But he's going to be a really influential and powerful forward for us. And we've got Ryan Gardner and Alex Keith and some of these other boys in our back end. Haven't played a lot of AFL footy yet. We just need to be a little bit patient with those guys, but they'll really come on again this year.
Hey, it's exciting times, dog supporters. We can see all the messaging coming through. They're excited. And it is the membership day here. Jump on board. It's a great time to jump on board the doggies. And we appreciate you jumping on. And good luck for the year ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Gaz. Thanks, Tim. And look, can I just say to all our fans and supporters, thank you very much for your unconditional support. We're always grateful. And The doggy supporters, we like to think our own supporters are very unique in that they're always willing to support us, win, lose or draw, and we love them to death, and we can't wait to see them at our games.
It's a great message, and they love your team, they love your coaching. So good on you, Bevo. We appreciate it. Luke Beveridge, coach of the Western Bulldogs on Western Bulldogs Membership Day. Jump on board now. You can get 6 games for the price of 3. So if you're going to be a member, you might as well do it today and get a couple of games for free.